Right when you decided to face mortals capable of capturing an angel. He followed you into that chapel, saw a fellow angel bound, tortured, and facing rape and enslavement, and promptly ran like a bitch. Oh my god, Alex breathed. Yep, turns out even angels are flawed. Hardly any of us will admit that, but some angels are chicken shit. Some are fuck-ups. Some are assholes. She shrugged again. I'm so sorry. For what? You saved me. He finally saw her smile again. I owe you my life. So you volunteered to be my guardian angel? He smiled. No. I wanted to. But like I said, I'm not exactly at my best. I wanted you to have someone stronger. I argued for that even. The hosts decided that I was the most appropriate choice, despite my weakness.
I'm flattered.
Don't be. I've never done this before, and I'm weak. I feel pretty half-assed as a guardian right now. I think they just figure if I've got mortal cooties, it's better to stick you with me than give you someone else who might get infected, too. I wish you'd gotten someone better.
I want you.
Rachel's eyes flashed at that, and she gasped just a little, but held it short.
She stammered. You said that you, wanted to talk to me about something?
Is she blushing? Alex thought in amazement. He didn't think anything he said was flirtatious. It wasn't a pickup line. This conversation rushed from him not knowing how to handle her disgust to the both of them now gripped with sudden shyness.
Two things. First, those guys who abducted you. I know they're dead, but do you know if you're at risk of that happening again? Are there others? Lorelai didn't talk much about it. She just kind of warned me that I might have to face that sort of danger again.
She's not wrong about that, Rachel conceded. But I don't know about those men. This was as much a shock to me as it was to her. I have asked the hosts. They didn't have much to tell me. It's not like guys who'd do something like that have guardians.
So angels just go missing and nobody goes looking for them?
She responded with a troubled look before she spoke. I'm learning to see my peers in something of a new light through all of this, she confessed, carefully choosing each word. It may simply be that my faith is being tested. I don't know. At any rate, it's pretty tough to get answers out of men who've already gone straight to hell.
I may have been a bit hasty in destroying them and that chapel.
I don't think anyone can blame you after all that. Still, I think it would be good to look for answers to this if I even know where to start.
You have to be careful, Alex. The smartest thing you could do is keep a low profile. Other guys in your position might not think twice before playing rashly with their apparent fortunes.
That brings up the other thing, Alex said. I'm not sure how I can ask this. I'm not a pig who doesn't respect women or something.
Rachel squeezed his hand and gave him a little smile. It's okay, you can trust me. You'll have me watching you a lot from now on.
Creepy, I know, she jested.
All the time?
No, not all the time. Not when you're with her. And I imagine that might be much of the time, but not constantly, regardless. I'll eventually be given other mortals to watch over. Like I said, it's not like a guardian watches only one person. I will be watching frequently enough that I should know what goes on in your life.
And I'll get to see you in person again, right?
She smiled, again somewhat shyly. Yes, sometimes.
I would like that.
You wanted to ask me something awkward and potentially explosive, she observed.
He blinked. I'm apparently becoming irresistible to every woman I find attractive.
Rachel snorted at a laugh and covered her mouth with her hand as Alex continued sheepishly but quickly, so as to get it all out.
Lorelai keeps telling me I can and should sleep with whoever I want to, and I can't stop thinking about sex anymore. So obviously I'm seriously tempted as long as I'm not hurting anybody. But even so, I keep thinking I should know better, and I don't want to wind up in hell, and I don't want to make you mad, he added without even thinking about it.
Rachel snorted again and then laughed openly at him.
You worry a lot, don't you?
I'm serious. I think I might go insane.
Who says you're not already insane? The blonde giggled. You're having conversations and sexual congress with beings not of this world.
Okay, don't fuck with me like that. Am I going nuts?
No, she giggled more. No, you're not crazy.
Eventually, Rachel composed herself.
You haven't done anything wrong so far.
You totally blew up at me not 10 minutes ago.
That's different, she said, waving a dismissive hand. I'm not thrilled you're fooling around with that hussy, but I
understand.
Alex waited while she searched for words.
I don't think you're going to hurt anyone. You have good instincts, and you're not irresistible. You've got the succubus herp, and that shit doesn't wash off. But it doesn't override anyone's brain or anything. You'll just need to learn to manage it. You've established your boundaries with her, right?
I think so. I keep thinking so. Maybe I need to be a little more explicit.
Rachel nodded emphatically.
You're in charge, Alex, for real. I know you want to be nice, but even diminished and bound as she is, she could be dangerous. It might seem creepy to you, but even at your worst, you're way fucking better than the previous bosses. And she knows it. Things are going to be this way for a long, long time, so don't let her run you around. If you think something's wrong, it probably is.
You can't just give me an actual no-go list? I've already gotten the impression from all this that I can't exactly take the Bible or religious figures literally.
Her mouth opened, then promptly closed.
I cannot speak on that.
Of course not.
Alex nodded with a shrug. The angel's eyes turned apologetic, and she squeezed his hand again.
I'm not mad if you're getting laid, Alex, she said. Not if it's a little or a lot. I imagine I sounded jealous before, but it's not that.
I figured at first that you'd probably hit that, but then yesterday I saw you hadn't, and I guess I got the wrong impression. I can't blame you for being human. I want you to be happy, and if that sloppy wench can give you a good time, then I say bang away on that. Alex's eyes went wide, but she just smirked.
Seriously, you haven't betrayed anyone. I was upset because I think you're more than she deserves. If you start going down the wrong path, I'll know sooner or later, and you and I don't have the usual guardian-angel relationship. I'll show up and tell you.
You'll come kick me in the balls?
I can't hurt you.
What if I tell you to?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll cross that bridge if we ever get to it. But I think I can trust you.
They shared a long, quiet look at one another.
I'd really like to see more of you, Rachel,
Alex said. She merely shrugged.
Time will tell, but you have other classes soon.
Alex stood. Before he left, he said,
Was there something else you wanted to talk about?
I just wanted to see you,
Rachel smiled.
She stepped close to kiss his cheek. Be happy. Be good.
Lorelai had plans for Alex when he came home. She'd been left with plenty of time to plot and scheme. All day long, she felt small trickles of his desires. Nothing informative, just the sensations, which kept her spirits up. His desires surged late in the morning, leaving her curious as to whom he'd run into. She spent her day investigating the home and his interests. She found more than she could work with, more fun to be had. Lorelai felt encouraged. Her disturbing feelings of devotion had, for the moment, lessened. She chalked them up to the novelty of their circumstances. He returned later than his schedule had indicated. Lorelai found it odd to be concerned over that. The succubus felt his rising desires long before he came home, knowing from experience that this specific desire was for her. She grinned and allowed herself to enjoy it. Was I actually worried for his safety? The succubus thought it odd, but banished the concern.
When she heard his motorcycle pull up to the garage outside, her spirit soared more than she had expected. Excitement rose within her. He at least accepted her nature now, and some of the wonders she had to offer. That would help her continue to gain some measure of control within their relationship. Seduction and unrestrained pleasure on her mind, Lorelai took up a spot on her knees facing the door and waited. "He'll never expect this," she thought deliciously. The door unlatched and opened. Alex stepped in, gasping at the sight of her. He was clad in his leather jacket, a backpack slung over his shoulder, and a large gym bag in one hand. She said nothing right away, merely throwing up a smoldering look as he locked the door behind him. "How may I serve you, master?" she asked, reaching up meaningfully for his belt. Alex grunted, closing his eyes and leaning back on the door. An eager smile began to spread across Lorelai's face, but then he tenderly took her hand in his, pulling it away from his groin. "Hold on," he requested softly. Lorelai complied and smothered her frustration, wondering what the hell his problem could be now. He drew her up to her feet, and then he turned down to unzip the gym bag. "These are for you," he said. Lorelai blinked curiously and watched as he pulled a small bouquet of roses out of the bag. They were gorgeous. He'd been careful about transporting them. She looked in his eyes, still curious and unsure where he would go with this, though the meaning was apparently clear. "No one has ever brought me flowers before," she whispered as she took them. "You're kidding." His voice was just as hushed as hers. She shook her head, then corrected. Not once they believe that they have me. Not once we've lain together and lust becomes the driving force. I have been pursued with romance, of course," she explained quietly. "But you already have me, and yet this is... I'm not sure what to say."
"I wanted to say thank you,"
Alex explained.
"Say whatever you want about this being a better alternative to the priest or your old master, and how good we are in bed together and all, but..."
He gestured at their surroundings and then at himself.
"I know this wasn't something you ever wanted. I frustrate you. But you've been good to me, all things considered. You've been kind. You haven't insulted me or complained or anything. I like you, Lorelai, more than anyone I've ever met."
Her head spun again, as it had the first time they'd lain together. She liked the confidence and appreciation in his voice. But flowers? What did she need with flowers? Such a silly gesture. And yet, she found herself admitting it out loud.
"I like you a great deal, Alex."
"We need to get you clothes. I don't want to keep hiding you. I want to figure out how to make you part of my life and make you as happy as I can."
He took her hand again.
"And there's something I want to do for you right now, because it bothers me that there's this imbalance between us."
Alex brought her into the living room and sat her on the plush lounge chair. She felt a constant rush of his desire as he set aside his bags and pulled off his jacket, then pushed aside the ottoman in front of the chair. Her partner sank to his knees in front of her and caressed her legs with open desire. Her eyes fluttered as his hands slid along those flawless thighs, ever higher, and gently, softly spread them apart. It was Lorelai's turn to breathe heavily with expectation. She understood what he meant to do. She hadn't thought this could come without some suggestion on her part. Like the flowers, it was entirely unnecessary by now. Possession was assured.
Her right hand slid back, moving under one knee and holding it up where he could kiss along her thigh with just a turn of his head.
He trailed soft kisses up toward her center, taking his time like every article and movie he'd ever seen instructed. He shifted from the right leg to the left, slowly moving up all the while. Their eyes never broke contact as his mouth descended to softly, slowly lick the lips between her legs. Lorelai breathed in sharply at the sheer pleasure of it, and though Alex was amazed at her taste, he kept his cool. He kissed and caressed her, and finally whispered,
"I've never done this, of course."
"You're doing very well,"
Lorelai breathed.
"We both know the whole master thing turns me on,"
he admitted between kisses that left her panting. But I don't want that to be all there is between us. Her mouth quivered as his lips descended on hers again. Her breath came out in small, blissful whimpers. It was like a repeat of their first coupling. A faint alarm rang out in the back of her mind. Normally, men and women could become addicted to tasting her like this. It would grant her ever greater control. She knew instinctively that it would not work out that way, this time. Her scent thrilled him. She felt his desires and his pleasures as strongly as ever. Lorelai knew instantly that the taste of her enthralled Alex, that he loved this task and would not hesitate to indulge her again. He took his time with this intimacy, savoring both the act and the reactions his kiss brought out of her. Lorelai realized this could result in her yielding more control and more loyalty rather than the other way around. The first touch of his tongue left her ready to beg and plead for more if he paused. He was on his knees, bowed before her as her victims so often were. And yet, rather than triumphant, she felt increasingly vulnerable. Her chest rose and fell heavily with each breath. He teased more than touched her at first, his cheeks brushing against her inner thighs and his tongue only barely caressing her labia. She'd seen lovers lose all control and willpower and escalate quickly because she felt and tasted so good. But Alex held back. He concentrated on making her feel good rather than satisfying his desires. His licks and kisses gradually became less tentative, indulging more and more of her flesh, but still keeping his cool and making her want more. Overcome with rapture, Lorelai pushed the fingers of one hand through his hair and pulled him closer. To hell with it, she decided. Her breath became heavier as a first climax came. It clearly heralded more to come later. Alex tasted even more of her, devouring her surrender with his kiss. He slowed and softened as she came down from the high of orgasm, stroking her body with gentle hands, and continued with his attentions. Yes, Alex, Lorelai breathed. Please, more. Alex said nothing. His mouth was busy with better things than words. Chapter 7. Even demons need closure.
Does she want more? I feel like I could do this more, but...
Alex enjoyed his task. A little soreness in his knees seemed like a small price to pay to drive Lorelai this wild. One climax after another left her all but melted into the chair, moaning wantonly as her pleasures rose and fell.
I can suck it up for a while if she wants.
More? He asked softly. Her chest rose and fell heavily. Eventually, she reached out one hand to him, which he took in his to kiss her fingers.
Alex.
She exhaled. More silence.
I'll keep going if you want it,
he offered. His words elicited a joyful groan.
No, Master. I will always want more of this, so much more of this. Alex.
Her voice trailed off. Lorelai's free hand came down to his face.
I will never stop wanting this. Wanting you. This means so much. If you wait for me to tell you I have had enough, you'll be bowed before me forever.
I can think of worse things,
he grinned, though he shifted restlessly on his knees.
No, don't tempt me.
Lorelai shook her head as much to clear it as to communicate.
Your point is made and taken to heart. But you must decide in this, for your own sake.
She gestured for him to come closer. He rose up off of his knees, allowing her to pull him in for a deeply appreciative kiss.
There'll be more than just this time,
Alex promised.
I know, she said, kissing him again. I know. Alex, I need you. I feel your needs. I've felt them all this time. Let me relieve you.
Twist my arm, he grinned.
She immediately pulled off his shirt, and he kicked off his shoes. But then Alex paused.
Wait,
he said. The sudden pleading look of desperation in her eyes could have broken his heart and made him wonder if they were both in for just such a fate. He sat down on the ottoman.
I have to tell you something about today. I have to confess something. I guess.
What could you have to confess to me? Lorelai blinked.
I didn't expect it,
he began.
But I don't want you to.
I don't want you to find out about it while we're,
He couldn't say making love. He still wasn't sure if he could call it that. And what a silly turn of phrase, anyway. That was a two-way street, wasn't it? He didn't want to just call it fucking, though, or any other synonym that came to mind.
I don't want you to suddenly taste this on me, the young man finally managed.
Naughty glee spread across her mouth in a grin.
I felt you much of the day.
He blinked.
Then you know?
Not specifics, she said, shaking her head. But as you lust, I feel it. I told you this is what sustains me, desire and pleasures of our flesh, yours as much as mine. The succubus added while trailing a tempting finger down his chest to his waistline. She started smoothly unfastening his belt with that single hand. I hunger for you in my own right, but your desires become mine. I want for you everything you want for yourself.
That doesn't bother you?
It feels rather exhilarating, actually.
She grinned.
Lorelai, it was Rachel.
Alex admitted.
Best to be direct about it, he figured. She showed up to talk to me at school. I don't want you to think I haven't been sincere with you, but I don't want you to find out the wrong way that I'm attracted to her, too.
She sat up to bring her eyes closer to his.
Well, then you know, Lorelai said.
Know what?
You know what I learned last night, but you hadn't consciously thought through.
You've been rather distracted, after all.
Alex, this is no shock. You're as dazzled by her as you have been by me.
She's an angel. It's no surprise.
You don't sound mad,
he ventured. Her shoulders shrugged without much concern. Without even looking, her hand resumed unfastening his pants.
Hardly.
I cannot say that I like her, but your desire is understandable. She's quite a pretty thing, most angels are. I would greatly enjoy ravishing her myself, though I expect that would be a very different game for me than for you. Your lust for her is different than your lust for me in some ways, but also very similar. In some ways, your desire for her is stronger, but the unknown always has that advantage.
Lorelai's eyes closed softly as she leaned in to kiss him. Alex accepted it, his heart soaring with surprised relief. He felt her grin as they kissed. When their lips parted, she said simply,
Never worry that I will be jealous of your desires. I want you to have her, too, Alex. If I can make that happen, I will.
Partial honesty won't cut it here, Alex knew.
It could still lead to pain later on.
I think it's more than just lust.
And lust is all you feel for me?
Asked that seductive grin that brushed against his mouth.
I have felt much more than lust between my legs tonight. Much more than friendship.
Her hands pushed his pants down off of his hips.
I would feel that again.
Later, Alex would wonder how she'd made things happen so smoothly. It certainly couldn't have been his doing. He was on his knees, pants only lowered halfway down his thighs, while she lounged naked and waiting in the plush chair. But the next thing he knew, he was fully naked, still kneeling before her spread legs, sinking his cock into her wet, yielding flesh. She had crazy supernatural sex powers. That was all he needed to know. For Lorelai, the meaning of their intimacy ran far deeper. He wanted to please her, and it made all the difference. Most other partners wanted to take from her, or at best satisfy her just to feed their egos. Alex wanted to give. He'd freely bowed his head to her in affection and thanks, and a gesture of equality, all things she'd never had from a man. Eventually, they relaxed in one another's arms, naked and intertwined in a chair that wasn't built for two. It should have been terribly uncomfortable. Instead, they remained in the chair until well after sunset.
Thank you,
he sighed with a satisfied grin.
I'm yours for the taking,
Lorelai responded simply.
Always.
I'm tempted, but I have to move,
Alex confessed.
Can't stay in this chair forever.
Oh?
One eyebrow rose curiously. Lorelai let him extricate himself from both her embrace and the chair to sit on the floor.
She crawled over to him like she was ready to eat him, pushing him onto his back. He had no doubt that was on her mind.
All we need to do is change positions. So many different ways.
Wait, no, no,
laughed her vulnerable partner.
We've got things to do.
Do we?
She loomed over him on her hands and knees. Her hair fell in an intimate black curtain around their faces.
Magnificent as this has been, you cannot possibly be satisfied yet. Not with me.
I'm sure I'll get by. We need to get you clothes and stuff. Gotta work out how we're going to handle the rest of the world. I can't just hide you away as my naked sex slave forever.
Master, one day, centuries from now, I will torment you with these silly things you have said to me while our bond was young. There will be great amusement at your expense.
Alex laughed happily at his own expense, and then stopped short.
Wait, centuries? I can't imagine what a house like this must cost.
Alex blinked. He sat on his motorcycle with his feet on the pavement as Lorelei dismounted. She wore only a pair of his sweatpants, sandals, and his leather jacket. She said she didn't need the helmet, but he didn't want to get pulled over.
It sold for several million not long after prices fell across the city, came Lorelei's nonchalant response.
She handed Alex's spare helmet back to him without looking. They parked his motorcycle on a winding, hilly residential street. Before them, the ground rose up to a large house, still catching the rays of the setting sun. The garage seemed to have been dug into the hill to eliminate the need for a steep driveway. The only other access to the house sat at the front porch at the end of the cobblestone steps leading up the hill. Normally, Alex didn't leave his helmets clipped to his bike. Seattle's wealthy Magnolia neighborhood seemed like a safe place to forego that rule. Everywhere he looked were homes that he figured would never be in his price range. The one before him, though, took the cake on this street. It may not have been the swankiest thing in the whole neighborhood, but the owner had clearly done well for himself.
Or herself? Is this yours?
He asked, hesitantly.
No, though I could likely arrange something comparable if you like, given time.
Alex, she frowned.
I don't know if you should follow me inside. It will likely not be pleasant.
She hadn't given much detail as to this errand. Alex had intended to take her shopping for decent clothes within the boundaries of his budget. He was willing to sacrifice for her. Instead, she suggested reclaiming her own resources. She hadn't articulated what those resources were. It occurred to Alex that he could have simply asked, but if she wanted to tell him, she would have. The whole thing bothered him more and more on the ride over. He wanted to trust her, but this was uncharted territory for them. Many things he had to concede represented uncharted territory.
Do you think it'll be dangerous?
The house looked deserted, but he couldn't be sure. Lorelei considered it, but shrugged.
No, but again, it may well be unpleasant.
How so? You haven't told me what's going on.
Hesitantly, Lorelei said,
This is where I was when that priest and his men summoned me in their ritual. One moment I was here, the next I stood in a summoning circle. You know the rest. I do not look scarred to you, but I am.
Alex reached out to take her hand. She didn't flinch, but didn't respond either.
My feelings for you are genuine, Alex, but I am also not what I was before we met. I am weakened, but I also feel soft, comfortable as I am with you. I resent being reduced this way. Inside that house, I was not so restricted. I had been fulfilling my purpose when I was summoned.
And you don't want me to see that?
I worry that it will come between us, yes.
Maybe we need to confront your past instead. At least this much.
His suggestion was gentle, but he could see the way it made her clench her jaw.
Do you miss it?
My emotions are mixed, she admitted.
You should not mistake my feelings for you as some window into my soul, Alex. I am freer now as your slave than I have ever been.
Despite my loss of power, that is precious to me. I am grateful to you. I feel genuine loyalty growing between us. Yet I despise my weakness. It is hard to distinguish these feelings from one another. I care for you. I mean no harm to those who are close to you, your mother, friends, associates. Nor am I randomly cruel. But none of that makes me a nice person. I am not much like you.
Alex listened, then finally nodded toward the house.
Show me.
The pair walked up the cobblestone steps to the front door, each filled with trepidation but resolved to face this. The doorknob was one of those keyless entry sets that Alex had only seen in office environments. Lorelai punched in the correct combination and entered after they heard the door unlock. Inside, Alex found vaulted ceilings and finely made wood paneling. Everything was quiet. The floor had new carpeting, the heater was on, and there was a faint, unpleasant smell at the front door. It was something akin to a nursing home.
Feel free to take anything you like, Lorelai said absently. I suspect it won't be missed. She wasn't especially loud, but she didn't whisper either.
Alex followed her through the entrance and foyer to a spacious and well-furnished living room. Lights gradually rose as she entered.
Lots of nice artwork,
Alex noted. Much of this is overpriced junk, she shrugged, looking the living room over. What you see here is the decor of a man who wants expensive artwork, simply to have it. This is not eclectic. This is collecting for appearances. There is no sense of his artistic tastes because he has none. Alex sighed.
I'd never have known that. This is why I worry about boring you. You're way more sophisticated than I'll ever be.
Don't doubt yourself. You are far more interesting than you realize.
Ah. Lorelai stepped over to a black glass coffee table that had been pushed away from the couch. On the coffee table was a small, expensive-looking purse, a small discarded red party dress, and stains. Dried, white stains that stood out across the dress and the coffee table. Alex didn't need much imagination to know what had gone on here. He considered that as Lorelai reached over for the purse, ignoring everything else, and double-checked its contents. That Lorelai slept with other men was no secret. She had doubtlessly been as dirty and shameless with those men as she'd been with Alex. Probably far dirtier, he knew, considering his youth and inhibitions. But he hadn't given it much thought. He didn't stare. It took only a moment to conclude all this. What did require a few seconds was the search through his feelings. Lorelai watched through an unreadable poker face until he looked back at her and shrugged.
Are you bothered by what you see? She asked.
He paused, wanting to ensure he answered honestly, and shook his head.
No,
he decided.
Not especially. I guess it's better to confront this than to wonder, but no. I don't think I'm bothered.
Being told and seeing for oneself are entirely different, Lorelai said, her voice still devoid of emotion. I am, as I have told you, born to use the lusts of others against them. I have no shame, no inhibition, and I have had countless sexual partners. I am a true slut, whore, choose your term. Again, Alex shook his head.
Don't. I don't like those words, not used in anything but fun. They aren't fair.
Fair?
A whore is someone who provides sex for money. I don't see the crime in that. That could obviously be rough business, and I know it chews people up. But I'm not going to judge. Anyone who's got a serious problem with a woman doing that should step up and offer her a different job. And slut is a double standard. Why is it okay for men to have many partners but not women? That doesn't add up. I want to get laid a lot. Does that make me a slut? Maybe. But more to the point, should I be ashamed of it? And if I feel that way about myself, should I feel that way about others?
Her stony expression softened.
You don't sound like you were only 19.
He offered a smirk.
Hey, I'll be 20 in a couple months. Getting old and wise.
And yet you worry that you are unsophisticated. I hope you are being honest with yourself.
I think I am.
He nodded.
I admit you've changed my outlook. But I've crushed on girls who've been through more than a couple boyfriends. I didn't judge. I don't think I feel jealous here. I don't know. Is it bad that I don't want you to be with other men? Unfair?
Lorelai shrugged.
Perhaps if we had to hold ourselves to strict standards. But we do not. I am not bothered, as I have said. You are the master.
A faint glimmer returned to her eye, along with that wicked smile.
And I am your slut.
She leaned in, kissed him on the cheek, and then her grim demeanor returned.
There's more. You're sure you want to follow me?
I am,
Alex affirmed. She brought him through the living room to the staircase and ascended coolly. He followed, noticing the foul smells continued but said nothing. They rounded the corner of the staircase and passed several different rooms filled with nice but bland furniture. The stench grew even stronger. Alex had all too good of a guess of what smelled so bad. At the end of the hall were closed double doors. Lorelai reached for the doorknob, looked back to Alex with grim resolve, and then pushed the doors open. Inside was a dark, spacious master bedroom, and the overwhelming scent of human waste and decay. Alex thought instinctively of holding his breath, then realized that was pointless. Lorelai entered without hesitation or reaction. Alex decided he'd have to just suck it up. He found a light switch and turned it on. The bedroom had a high ceiling and lush carpeting. To one side was a walk-in closet with sliding mirror doors. An open doorway led to a bathroom fit for a rock star. The king-sized bed had dark blue curtains tied to the posts. Clothing lay scattered around the foot of the bed. Slacks, a man's dress shirt, a tie, lacy red panties, and a bra. Lorelai strode past the bed on her way into the closet, coldly acknowledging none of it. The body lay in the bed, covered only by a silk sheet. He didn't look like an old man, but he was clearly older than Alex. His face was so drawn and pale that it was hard to tell. Eyes closed, blonde hair, a couple days stubble, no shirt, an empty Evian bottle under one still hand. The pillowcase was stained with sweat, but the sheet that covered him was stained darkly at his hips, with blood and other fouler stuff. "I thought," Alex mumbled, stepping closer. He was unsettled, repulsed, and yet unable to look away. He knew from everything Lorelai had said that this must be some vile, awful man, but Alex saw only someone who died in his apparent prime. "I thought they were supposed to waste away."
"Usually,"
came her indifferent voice from inside the closet. "Some push themselves too far too fast. The most egotistical are sometimes quick to their ends. He was especially foolish. He heard bones begin to crack and tried to laugh it off. I had no reason to argue his choices."
"Oh my God,"
Alex breathed. It was an obvious enough joke.
"What a way to go,"
someone would say if they were on television. But all Alex saw was an ugly, slow death. The man must have lingered in pain for a long time.
What did he do?
Lorelai stepped out of the closet. He felt her hand on his shoulder and her voice at his ear. "This is Raymond Cordingly. His fortune is built directly out of the life savings of others. He promised to shepherd them into a secure retirement and old age. The web of lies that he created left honest grandparents homeless and destitute. By the time it all came to light, he had withdrawn from his company and arrayed such formidable legal defenses to his freedom and his fortune that your courts focused instead on his corporate dupes. Their involvement was comparatively minor and largely unwitting. Other accomplices escaped notice." She didn't seem emotionally invested in the story. "Innocent workers lost their jobs to cover the cost of the company's legal concerns. I could tell you of three people who lost their lives, and many others who linger on in pain and misery because of the disruption to their medical treatment caused by this man's greed." With that, she was gone. Alex didn't hear or feel her step away, but he knew he stood alone, staring at Raymond's wasting face. It was the sort of story that enraged him. He figured it would enrage any feeling person. But when Lorelai spoke of her purpose and her victims, he imagined worse things. Murderers, mobsters, tyrants, child molesters, rapists. Not something like this. Alex looked at the drawn, still face and finally asked himself how stealing with lies and a smile and a contract was any better than doing it with a gun in an alleyway. A mugger might kill, but he might not. And either way, he wasn't likely to get away with the family home or anyone's college tuition. "It would be a simple thing to claim the bulk of his liquid assets. He entrusted me with limited access, but I am certain that I could get the rest. Concealing it would not be too difficult," Lorelai added from within the closet. Alex blanched.
Did she seriously want him to take this dead guy's dirty money? Was that what they came for?
Then the dead man coughed. Alex jumped back in shock.
"Lori!"
Raymond rasped. His eyes fluttered open, tracking little but clearly showing signs of life.
Holy shit.
Raymond gasped, winced, and looked around weakly.
Who are you? Oh, God, you have to help me. I can't get up. That bitch.
Alex just looked at him in amazement.
You've been lying here like this since Monday?
What?
The other man croaked.
Look, I can't walk. You gotta call an ambulance for me.
Again, Lorelai stepped out of the walk-in closet. She was now dressed in designer jeans that looked painted onto her, and a shimmering silver top under a matching blazer. Alex would have stared under almost any other circumstance. At the moment, though, he was simply too stunned. Raymond's face twisted in an immediate rush of conflicting emotions.
Oh, God, Lori,
he babbled.
Why did you... What?
Raymond babbled, then winced in pain.
Fuck, it hurts so bad. You hurt me so bad.
I apologize, Master, Lorelai said coolly to Alex. I had thought this would be done by now.
Master? What?
Raymond blinked.
Who the hell is this kid, Lori?
He is more of a man than you have ever been at any point in your misspent life.
Have you been lying here since Monday night?
Alex repeated firmly.
Yes. Yeah. God.
Raymond spat.
Something's wrong with my hips. Stuff feels broken. Grinding. All I could reach was this water. I can't get to my phone. I called off the maid so Lori and I could... Oh, God. Gotta get me an ambulance.
His voice rose barely over a whisper. Desperation was the only thing giving him lucidity.
I thought I was going to die.
Lorelai turned to Alex and put a gentle hand on his shoulder.
Master, this is something I should finish, she told him.
Alex and Raymond both realized that she already had a pillow in her other hand. Neither of them had any illusions about what she meant to do with it.
No,
Raymond pleaded.
Wait, wait,
Alex said.
It was his fate.
Stop, stop for just a minute. The shock of Raymond's sudden awakening and the seriousness in Lorelai's eyes had Alex unsettled, to say the least.
Man, don't let her-
Shut up, Alex snapped. He ran his hands through his hair, turning away with his eyes wide. Then he turned around to face them both. Lorelai- What happens when he dies?
She just shrugged. His soul descends into hell?
No, I mean the money. All that money.
As I said, we can claim it if you wish. I was uncertain how you would feel about it, given your personal standards.
Huh. You're damn right I've got standards. Alex huffed. No, I don't want it. That's fucked up. It's not mine. What's gonna happen to it when he's found dead?
Alex shifted his attention to Raymond.
How much do you have in the bank?
I can get you 20 million. Easily.
Raymond said.
You can have all of it. Just call an ambulance and don't-
Shut the fuck up. Just answer the questions, all right? Alex was agitated, more afraid than intimidating, but Raymond wasn't in any condition to sort that out. You're a finance guy. You've got a will, right? Something? What happens to your money when you die?
Raymond's lower lip quivered. He looked between the shaking youth and the deadly cold seductress standing over him.
I never gave a shit,
he explained.
I've got a sister, my mom. I guess they'll get some after the state sorts it out.
Alex's jaw dropped. You guess? You do finance for a living and you don't make out a will?
Jesus,
he fumed. He looked at Lorelai, whose face was set in stone-cold resolve. And all your investors? Alex pressed, fighting to calm down. He was not far from screaming, both from rage and from feeling the enormous pressure of the moment. You live it up till you die and they just stay fucked?
For a moment, it looked as if Raymond might try to talk his way through this. His lips twisted, eyes glancing around frantically as he tried to come up with something clever to say. That's it, right?
Alex asked Lorelai.
He just dies and nothing gets fixed?
My purpose here was punishment for his crimes, not restitution. That is not in my...
nature, right,
Alex said, cutting her off. He tugged nervously at his hair, looking back down at Raymond.
How many investors did you have in your scam?
It wasn't a scam, the market just...
Lorelai's hand shot out at Raymond's throat. She pulled him up just far enough to demonstrate that she could do much worse. Even this was agonizingly painful on his hips.
Do not lie to him, worm, she hissed fiercely.
Then she let him go. Raymond collapsed back into the bed, overcome with fear of the raven-haired demon. Alex took a deep breath. He had to think.
How many investors? You were smart enough to pull this shit off. You had to have kept track of the details. How many accounts were there? You've got files, right?
Raymond looked only at the intimidating woman towering over him.
I was worried about being subpoenaed. Search warrants.
So you didn't keep anything at all? Not even just in case you had to cut a deal to save your ass later down the line?
Answer him, Lorelai ordered.
It's in a safety deposit box under a false name,
Raymond conceded.
The media played it up to sound worse than it was, but I did. I bilked about 14,000 investors out of everything.
How much are you worth?
Raymond blinked.
That's not an exact thing.
I know. You're a rich fucker, but I'm sure most of it's in stocks and stuff. Give me a conservative ballpark figure and don't bullshit me. How much are you worth if it means buying your life, selling everything off, whether it came from this scam or legit stuff?
Alex had learned just enough in a couple of economics classes to know that it was all very complicated and that the rich didn't operate like ordinary people.
I don't know,
Raymond thought frantically.
I could work up between 80 and maybe 90 million, depending on how things sold.
You said you could do 20 easily. Someone with that kind of money could have way more of a house than this. Isn't that a lot in liquid cash?
Not for someone who wants to be ready to flee the country on short notice and still live in comfort, Lorelai noted. Alex put his hands over his face, trying to think past Raymond's whimpering and labored breathing. $80 million, 14,000 accounts. It didn't divide out to a whole lot in the end. Better than nothing, for sure, but there had to be more.
That's from 14,000 people? Where's the rest of it?
I'm dying here. I can't put together a PowerPoint right now.
Fucking humor me, asshole.
Alex spat, still more desperate than angry. The fact that Raymond was the one whose life was on the line did nothing to assuage Alex's fear. He'd never felt so much pressure. Raymond made an exasperated noise.
Some of it went to big bonuses for people who helped me. Most of it was corporate profits. I can't draw it all out here.
But you could draw it all out for the feds, right?
What?
You're going to turn yourself in, Ray.
Alex growled, stepping closer to the bed.
When you get to the hospital, you're going to get on the phone with whoever you've got to and start selling off every fucking thing you own to give as much back to your investors as you possibly can. Even if that's only a few grand to each of them, it's still more than they've got now, right? And while you're doing that, you're going to call up the FBI and confess everything to them. You're going to connect all the dots, and you will do your goddamn best to make sure as much money as possible goes back to the people you fucked.
Lorelai watched without betraying emotion, but Alex didn't look at her. His eyes were fixed on Raymond, who breathed heavier in both fear and hope.
You're going to call for help for me?
Yes,
Alex said,
and you aren't going to say a goddamn thing about us being here. Make up whatever shit you've got to. I don't care. I'm going to read in the papers starting fucking tomorrow about your amazing change of heart. And if I don't, you're dead. Got me?
Raymond nodded weakly and couldn't help but glance up nervously at Lorelai.
I have already done this to you, she said. I can and will find you and end you in any way he wishes.
Sure as hell won't be as fun as the way you almost died,
Alex added.
Where's the phone?
It's in my pants.
Raymond winced.
Please, hurry. I've probably got an infection.
Alex grabbed the trousers at his feet and threw them onto the foot of the bed without thinking about it. He found a dried stain of something along the front.
Master,
Lorelai said, her voice showing her first visible emotion besides anger since she came into the room. Her expression had softened somewhat, altered by some mixture of guilt, sympathy, and perhaps embarrassment.
Let me do this.
It's fine,
Alex said, shaking his head. He checked the pockets and found the cell phone.
Do we have everything we need here? I don't want to flip out, but this shouldn't wait, and I don't want anything from this piece of shit. Not his money, not his toys, nothing.
I came primarily for what was in my purse. There is also a car in the garage that belongs to me. It was not purchased with his money. I believe you would approve if I explained, she added slowly.
It's fine. Nothing else. Lots of incriminating evidence.
It will never be traced to me.
Alex nodded, and then stopped himself from touching the cell phone. He tossed the pants at Raymond.
Call for help yourself. I don't want to worry about fingerprints.
He waited until Raymond dug out the phone on his own.
Let's get out of here,
he told Lorelai. Raymond dialed frantically. He watched as the hottest thing he'd ever scored in his charmed, ruthless life collected a beat-up leather jacket and old sweats from off the floor. She followed this holier-than-thou kid she called master, of all things, out of his room and out of his life. Everything below his navel radiated in five kinds of awful pain. He fearfully hoped she was out of his life forever. 5 minutes later, Alex and Lorelai stood up the street between her parked car and his motorcycle. They watched as a fire truck and an ambulance arrived, firefighters rushing up the steps to get inside.
Lorelai,
Alex finally said, as the firefighters looked for a way into the house.
Are you okay? I should have asked before now.
You have nothing to apologize for, Alex,
Lorelai said. Her arms were crossed over her chest. She seemed lonely and cold.
If anyone should apologize, it is me. I should have told you what to expect. I regret that you were put through this. I should have...
He waved it off.
I pushed you, and I didn't ask for an explanation. It's not your fault.
Her gaze fell to the pavement.
I might have volunteered an explanation.
Why didn't you?
He asked, placing a hand on her shoulder. She reached for it without looking at him.
Affection is not an emotion I am accustomed to. Compassion is even more alien. I am not sure I recognize it in myself or know how to follow it.
You were made to punish people,
Alex said.
I was. What you did in there, I would never have thought of that. I have never seriously considered such things. The victims of my prey were never my concern. I do not know if I feel appeased for this, or merely that I am satisfied that you are satisfied.
She looked to him and shrugged.
You are a good person, Alex. I am not.
Do you want to be?
I don't know, she answered honestly. I have never found cruelty or malice especially thrilling, but I cannot remember experiencing angst over it either. I feel as if I...
Her voice trailed off until she shook her head.
It's difficult to know what I truly want for myself, when I feel such a strong desire to please you.
What I want is to make you happy, as much as I can.
I know, Alex, she nodded softly.
They watched the paramedic crew break out their gurney and start hustling it up the steps.
You have done a very good thing in there. All that I was interested in, out of Raymond Cordingley, was another soul bound for hell. He couldn't tell if that was a confession or simply an observation, but he squeezed her shoulder comfortingly anyway. Then his eyes widened.
Oh my God.
He blinked.
Lorelai, is that gonna be a problem? I mean, did I just cheat some demon?
That depends on your definition of cheating and fairness,
Lorelai said, her voice stronger with the shift in topic. Hell would see it that way. but only because that would work to its advantage. The hosts would think differently.
Yeah, but is someone going to come after us?
Lorelai just shrugged, eliciting a groan from Alex in response. She turned to look at him. Would that knowledge have changed your actions?
What do you mean?
Cordingley's victims will likely get some measure of their life savings back. Other thieves who escaped scrutiny may now face punishment. Cordingley may even make good on his life with this second chance and find redemption. It is unlikely but possible. Nothing in my experience with you suggests that you would have turned from the chance for all that, because you might incur someone's displeasure, regardless of who or what they may be. Alex considered this, staring absently at the house.
I guess maybe you're right.
I am, she said. You are a brave man, Alex. My feelings for you may be conflicted in many ways, but that is something about you that I adore without reservation. He blushed, but resisted the urge to hide or turn away.
Still, I should have thought of you before putting you in the middle of it, if there is a problem.
I would have done as you wished, regardless.
Lorelai, you're my friend. I don't want to do anything to hurt you or put you at risk. If I'm about to, you need to tell me, okay?
As you wish, she smiled quietly. Master. He grinned back at her, blushing again and unable to help it. Alex looked her up and down.
You look great in that outfit, he said.
I am glad that it pleases you. There were clothes of a different sort in the house that may have also pleased you greatly, but I would just as soon burn everything that I wore for that man.
Well, as long as we can replace it. You, appear to have a lot of money.
He glanced at the hardtop Lexus convertible behind them. Enough. What is mine is quite literally yours. If you are my friend, you will not be shy about that, she grinned. I suggest that we take the car to go shopping, rather than your motorcycle. There are side streets where we can park it where it will not be bothered.
It's too bad it isn't warmer. Putting the top down might be fun.
Lorelai's grin shifted as she stepped in closer to Alex and put a hand on his groin. I can keep you warm easily enough, she smiled. Chapter 8. She's Trouble. Even in the cool September evening, wind blowing under an overcast sky as they drove toward downtown, Alex felt completely warm. Lorelai ensured that in exactly the manner she'd suggested. The succubus simply lounged in the front passenger seat, looking hot and occasionally stroking her fingers down his neck or sometimes across his lap. Were Alex a cooler, more confident guy, he might have had his right arm outstretched around her shoulders. He might have let the stereo blast something upbeat. Still, the car was worth more than he could make in 2 or even 3 years at his part-time job. He kept both hands on the wheel and his eyes on the road. Despite his attentive driving, he felt better about the relationship that had put him into it. The longer they stayed together, the more he dared to consider that he might actually, in some small way, measure up to her interest. It wasn't like he'd never gotten a date in his life. Much of his loneliness could fairly be chalked up to bad luck, and for all the lusty stares and flirtation he'd received lately, it wasn't like Rachel seemed affected by Lorelai's influence. She seemed to like Alex for himself. Which brought to mind the things she'd said that morning. He wondered how good he'd feel about his relationship with Lorelai if he addressed that. Something's on your mind, Lorelai observed, her tones as sultry as ever.
I kind of wonder if we should be explicit about what's okay with me and what's not, he said.
Rachel was right. He had to get this done for peace of mind, if nothing else. If it displeased Lorelai, he'd have to live with that. Too much was at stake. There will be no more Raymond Cordingleys, Lorelai assured him.
It's not just that, it's...
Alex fought for the words. He wasn't even sure how to begin.
I don't want high school girls throwing themselves at me or being thrown at me, he finally said. Ever. Off limits. 19 and relative emotional stability are bare minimums.
Ah, the succubus smiled. The rules,
The laws of Alex. She had been leaning somewhat against the door, but now she shifted in her seat to lean slightly against his right shoulder.
I hear and obey. What is thy bidding, ma'am?